Now we turn to Reza Aslan from our New York Bureau. Mr. Aslan is a contributing editor to The Daily Beast and author of the best-selling books No God But God and How to Win a Cosmic War. He's thought a lot about why young Muslims are attracted to jihadist movements, and we're pleased that he's with us now. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yesterday, we had a local religious leader, Imam Jahari Abdul Malik, as a guest on the program. He's the director of outreach at the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia. This is a place that has gotten some attention recently because the alleged Fort Hood shooter, Nidal Hassan, worshipped there on occasion, and the imam, a previous cleric, on the staff there, later went to Yemen and has become identified with these controversial writings, sort of praising mm-hmm. jihad against the United States. And this imam is also a former Muslim chaplain at Howard University, so he also is very much in touch with young people. And Howard, of course, is one of the arrested students was a dental student at Howard. So all that by way of background, I asked him to give his take on the situation. This is what he said. Do you feel sort of an ideology of jihadism is taking root among some young people in this country? Do you think that's true as a religious leader, as a leader of students?
I have to say that I think that you're right. As much as we might like to think not, it is probably not pervasive, but it only takes five people to get it wrong out of millions of American Muslims. We have to do better, and obviously we're going to have to do different.
What do you think?
Well, if you think of jihadism as a kind of a reactionary identity, a youth movement, which is really what this is. I mean, bin Laden, I think, said it best when he said the only age group he's interested in is the 15 to 25-year age group. Then I think, you know, the imam is correct, but in some ways, I don't know if it's as alarming as, you know, that statement actually sounds, because the vast majority of people who sort of gravitate towards jihadism as an identity, you know, are kids. They see it as a way of reacting against, you know, their own culture, their own identities, and certainly against what they see as, you know, American foreign policy. Very, very few of them can actually be mobilized into action. But as the imam said, it doesn't take that many, of course.
For your book, How to Win a Cosmic War, you studied the cases of young European Muslims who you could almost say defected in a way from their home countries and joined these transnational jihadist movements. Do you see similarities between the students you studied in Europe and what we're seeing here in the U.S.?
I don't. And there's a lot of reasons for not seeing that similarity. One of the major reasons is that so far in the cases that we've seen in the United States, there's very little evidence that they are connected to some global movement or that they're connected to each other. These seem to be very isolated events, which is something that you don't see that often in Europe. You see a lot more interconnectivity between global jihad and these so-called groups of guys in Europe who have carried out attacks or who attempted to carry out attacks. But more importantly, I think that the presence of the imam on your show is a great example of this. In the United States, the Muslim community, perhaps because of their economic advantage, the fact that they're far better assimilated into American culture, have more or less rejected the ideology of jihadism. And in this case, as you saw, it's the American Muslim community that has been at the forefront of investigating these claims, of working with federal agencies and with the police force. That's something you don't see that often in Europe. I was in Europe in the UK not long after the 7/7 bombings. And when I talked to the counterterrorism people there, what they said was it's frustrating because we cannot get the Muslim community to cooperate with us in trying to investigate, you know, radicalism within their midst. That's not the case in the United States. The Muslim community here seems to be very open, very cooperative with federal agencies.
In fact, that's one of the points that the imam also made in our conversation. He pointed out it was the parents of these young men who first went to this advocacy group CARE.
Right.
And then they put the parents in touch with the authorities who have been talking to the authorities. And they said that was kind of a sign that their families at least are invested in this country. But what do you think it says? I mean, I think a lot of Americans find this very puzzling. I mean, they'll say, well, wait a minute, you know, you're going to school here, you're accepted here, you have friends here. What is it? What more can be done to Do you know what I mean?
You know, I do know exactly what you mean, and this is a question that's often asked, but make no mistake, jihadism is not a poor person's movement. It's not a movement filled with illiterates. This is a very complicated, socially active, politically conscious movement for middle-class kids. It's a movement that involves lawyers and doctors and engineers. I mean, these people are obsessed with global transformation. Well, think about this. I mean, if you're in a place where you can even think about such things as global transformation, sort of utopian ideas like the recreation of the world, you know, you've got to be pretty well educated. You've got to be middle class, insofar as that means, you know, leisure class. So it's not that unusual to see Western educated, literate, even, you know, fairly well assimilated people getting caught up in this, very much, you know, in the sense that when you saw support in American history for communism or socialism or Bolshevism, you know, it was the middle class. It was the young people who were active in these kinds of movements.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be talking more about this, so we hope you'll join us again. Reza Aslan is a contributing editor to The Daily Beast and author of the books No God But God and How to Win a Cosmic War. He also recently founded Boom Gen Studios, which, among other things, helps Hollywood studios better understand Muslim audiences. Mr. Aslan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.